My guest at this time is John Bolton, former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations. He's now a senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute here in Washington. We want to get his thoughts on some of the latest developments in the investigation into the terrorist attacks in Benghazi. A big week on that story, obviously, given the dramatic testimony on Capitol Hill on Wednesday, but there's even been some dramatic developments since then. And Mr. Ambassador, it's always good to have you with us and get your perspective.
Well, thanks again for having me. Glad to be with you.
Let's start actually with something that we've learned even more recently since the hearing, and this is a report from ABC News that we'll play here in a moment from Jonathan Karl, in which he describes the extent that the talking points first offered by the intelligence community were altered by the administration. Here's what he said.
The White House said they relied entirely on CIA talking points, but I have obtained 12 different versions of those talking points that shows that they were dramatically edited by the administration. Take a look at two of them. On the left, a draft initially written by the CIA. On the right, one that was used by the White House, the final version. What was taken out? All references to Al-Qaeda and all references to CIA warnings before the attack about the terror threat in Benghazi.
Jonathan Karl went on to say that the reason that most likely happened is that State Department spokesman Victoria Nuland decided that any references to terrorism and Al-Qaeda would give congressional critics a lot of ammunition to, in her words, abuse this information and hold the administration up for ridicule. Your reaction to that, Mr. Ambassador?
Well, I think this is what happens when you finally allow people who actually were involved in the events of 9/11 to testify. And we can see from witnesses who are professional diplomats, career officials in the State Department, what they knew firsthand about what was going on. And I think the most dramatic aspect of the testimony on Wednesday was the repeated assertion by Gregory Hicks, the number two in Libya, the deputy chief of mission, and the others, that this was never believed by anybody on the ground in Libya to be anything other than a terrorist attack. As Mr. Hicks said, the YouTube video was a non-event for us in Libya. He said all of the embassy's reporting from the get-go was that it was a terrorist attack. He said that he had said this to Mrs. Clinton when she called him, Secretary Clinton, when she called him at 2 a.m. his time. So there was no question here of conflicting intelligence reports, no question here of what the White House called the fog of war. You don't need intelligence reports when you can talk to your own employees in the State Department and other agencies who are right there on the ground. And that's why I think not just the rewriting of the talking points, but the admitted for Susan Rice in the famous appearance on five Sunday morning talk shows, but the entire administration approach, including what Secretary of State Clinton said and including what the president said at the United Nations about the Mohammed video, were false and known to be false right from the outset.
And so, Mr. Ambassador, the one thing that congressional Democrats on Wednesday were willing to concede is that they admit that the narrative about the YouTube video was not correct, but they don't chalk it up to sinister motives. They say it was simply a mistake. It sounds like from what you just explained that that explanation is not credible. Is that what you're saying?
Well, there are only two explanations, I think, that make any sense. One is that the administration, very mindful that they were less than 2 months from a presidential election, and very mindful that on September the 6th, 5 days before the attack, the president, in accepting his party's renomination for president, said, and I quote, Al-Qaeda is on the road to defeat, a statement that was not true when it was made and was proven not to be true, tragically, 5 days later. So it was either a political cover-up or it was a demonstration of willful ideological blindness, the refusal to see facts that contradicted their theology that the war on terror was over. And as I've said for much of the past 8 months, you know, I hope the explanation for the security and safety of our country, I hope the explanation is that it was a political cover-up, because that you can expose and fix. But if it's ideological blindness and an unwilling to see terrorism for what it is, we've got 4 more years of it in front of us.
Mr. Ambassador, you've served in the State Department a number of times, and one of the things we also heard on Wednesday, especially from Mr. Hicks in pretty dramatic testimony, is the pressure that he got in response to criticizing the State Department for the Susan Rice talking points. He was also told not to meet one-on-one without the State Department minder in terms of the Jason Chaffetz visit to Libya. he was chewed out by Cheryl Mills when he didn't exactly abide by those rules. And now, as his lawyer likes to say, he's been in Siberia ever since. So what do you take from that? How out of character is that for the State Department, and what should we glean from that?
Well, I think retaliation and pressure against whistleblowers is a fact of life throughout the government. But, you know, for the past 8 months, you couldn't find anybody in the mainstream media who would buy the argument that people were intimidated about testifying to what they knew to be true. And that's why this hearing on Wednesday and these three witnesses really was an act of courage on their part. Their careers in the State Department had already been adversely affected, and certainly they're at risk now of being affected even more. But I'm hoping that their courage will inspire others to come forward. And, you know, within the bureaucracy, once people start talking and pointing fingers, it's amazing what comes out. And the effort to maintain message discipline, which the Obama White House and Hillary Clinton's State Department have been so good at it, I think will just blow up in their faces.
So what else might come out? Do you think some sort of dam is about to burst here?
I think it's very possible, and I think it applies to what happened before, during, and after the attack. You know, I think much of our focus, obviously, is on what was not done to protect the people on the ground in Benghazi. But there are a lot of questions why there was a consulate in Benghazi to begin with that didn't meet State Department security standards, why after 2 years of turmoil in the Arab world there weren't more pre-positioned assets to protect against exactly what happened in Benghazi, and of course afterward more on how exactly it came to be determined that Secretary of State Clinton, on the day the caskets of the four murdered Americans landed at Andrews Air Force Base, that she blamed it on the Mohammed video then. That wasn't a case of the Susan Rice talking points. This is the Secretary of State herself who's still making that, even though she knew the night of the attack from Mr. Hicks on the ground in Tripoli that it was not a demonstration, that had gotten out of control.
We're talking with former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. And Mr. Ambassador, you had stated in an interview earlier in the week that this scandal, this investigation could end up costing Mr. Obama his presidency. Now that you've seen what's played out this week, do you feel like there's that kind of momentum, or is the fact that the Democrats are still pretty much united in saying it's not that sinister mean that it's not probably going to get that far?
Well, I thought it could be a hinge point in the sense that the president's credibility, already badly wounded in a number of cases by the so-called Syrian red line on chemical weapons, which he has now conveniently ignored, and this unfolding story about Benghazi would make it very difficult for him to pursue his objectives. And I'll say, you know, the behind-the-scenes conversation among Democrats on the Hill is while they still got the front up because they're trying to protect Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, they are very worried. They could see the dramatic emotional effect that testimony on Wednesday had on anybody who watched it. And I think the more the American people hear from these three witnesses and the others that might come forward, the more profound the effect will be.
Any more detail you can add to what you either heard personally or heard about other Democrats saying up there?
Well, I think you've seen Democrats, the way they performed in the hearing, they didn't want to ask the witnesses questions. They had talking points. They had speeches that they wanted to give. And I think now they're very worried as they see the impact, as they see Jonathan Karl of ABC News, a major network coming out and reporting, and Cheryl Atkinson at CBS, who's been on this and I think now finally vindicated, that this is that they've failed to contain this in the blogosphere and on Fox News, and with the mainstream media having their competitive juices unleashed, I really do think the dam has burst here.
We'll certainly keep on top of it, and as major developments warrant, we'll be glad to have you back, sir. Thank you for your time, as always.
Well, thanks again for having me.
Former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton, now a senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.